I might be quite adventurous and quite a risk taker when it comes to looking at new ideas or learning about new things and also trying to make sense of them, particularly ever since we started Cut the Clutter. That was 1119 episodes back. In fact, this is the 1119th. But there are still some things that I've been wary of or that I'm scared of touching. And that's like my fear of math from my school days, right? I was so liberated when from class 10 on, I did not have to study any math at all. But you know what? Anything you want to avoid or you're afraid of keeps chasing you. It keeps stalking you until it leaves you no choice. So one of the things I was scared of touching was the whole crypto business. What is cryptocurrency? What is crypto token? How do people make money? How do people lose money? For my old-fashioned self, nothing can have value until it has value. Or let me put it the other way. How can something have so much value when it has no underlying value? So when you have a currency note, a government, a central bank, guarantees the value of that currency note. But in case of crypto, there is nothing. So there is no state behind it. So this is not fiat currency. So the mindset that's emerged, anytime I've tried to learn this also, I've seen a mindset. And that mindset is, look, if you get it, if you're cool and a Gen Zer, then you get it. Then you understand what crypto is. Then you understand how old-fashioned and boring your world of currency, bank drafts, bank transfers, bank deposits, or normal stock markets, mutual funds, etc. is. This is the new world, baby. And if you don't get it, then you must be a silly old boring boomer. Okay, I can be a boomer. It's not such a big problem. I've also got the years to justify that or to deserve that. But now with the meltdown of FTX, FTX is a short form for what is supposed to be future exchange, right? So future is taken away. FTX was the second largest cryptocurrency trading exchange in the world. Now, just as you have a National Stock Exchange in India, a Mumbai Stock Exchange, a New York Stock Exchange, NASDAQ, for cryptocurrencies, they have their own trading exchanges. So FTX was the second largest exchange in the world, right? And that one day just melted down. It disappeared in thin air, as again the old-fashioned me would think that all cryptocurrency would one day, but I know that cryptocurrency is an ideology, it's also a cult. Just for saying this, I will get a lot of abuse and opprobrium from a lot of people because people really believe in it. But once again, something that has no value, only when something has no value, it can vaporize in a way that $32 billion can just disappear without a trace, which is what has happened with FTX, with the meltdown of FTX, another sister company, FTX US, and also another company that the same people formed called Alameda Research. Now, Alameda Research was a kind of a hedge fund, but you know what? All mixed up, sab mile hue hain, aur sab cheez kis cheez ke mile hue hain? Aapki jeb se paise nikalne ke liye, chori karne ke liye, to pick your pocket, if you were gullible enough to buy into this nonsensical dream. And I say nonsensical because these people in America, at a time when the central bank interest rates were zero, right? At a time when it was very difficult to get 1%, 2% yield if you lent money to anybody, they were offering to borrow your money, they were offering you deposits on which they were guaranteeing you 8% return. 8% return. Now, look at the Indian market right now. The central bank rate, say, roughly in the ballpark, these days it's been going up, say in the ballpark, say it's 6%, say it's 7%, 5%, anything you choose. Then your banks, you put your money in the banks, the banks may give you fixed deposit, maybe 7%, 6%, something. You take a housing loan, bank may charge you 9%, 9.5%. 10%, or if you really go to a non-banking finance company, want to buy a motorbike, you might pay 12% something. That is still benchmarked to the 5 or 6 or 7%. That is the rate that the RBI has fixed. Now, suppose the RBI has fixed a rate of 6% at this point. It can change with every credit policy. It can go up or down, but say 6% for ease of understanding. And somebody comes to you and he says, hey, baby, give me your money. I will pay you 26%.
Yes.
Fantastic, right? My mom will be so happy I'm making so much money. But you know what? Your mom will be happy you're making so much money. That's because maybe someone else's mom will be so unhappy because the other guy will steal their money. Because if the rates in the market are only 6 to 8%, how would somebody give you 26%? Either the person will steal somebody's money or the person has no intention to return you your money. What that means is that you can be Gen Z-er or you can be very cool or you can be a boring boomer, but you are an idiot, right? So a lot of people, a million plus of the super rich people internationally, but mostly in America, proved that they were idiots. And they gave money, they gave deposits to this firm, FTX. Now, we've come all this far, this much distance, without even mentioning the name of the hero or the villain of the story. Now, here is somebody who was until 2nd of November. That is, November is this month, the month in which we are talking, just about 2 weeks back or 3 weeks back, right? The man until November 2 was a global hero, right? Look at his picture. Sam Bankman-Fried, not fried, Sam Bankman-Fried, right? Bankman-Fried has a hyphen in it. Now, whiz kid, 30 years old, MIT physics graduate, physics major, math minor. Worked with a top class trading firm, Jane Street. Did very well. Then decided to set up a firm of his own in crypto because you know why? Crypto is in fashion. And I will try and explain it to you in a couple of minutes. What crypto is in terms of my limited understanding. And obviously, once again, I will tell you that I don't believe that individuals, however honorable they may be, can get together amongst themselves, put a value to something, and they say, we will trade honorably in this in such a way that all of us make profit. There is no trade in which everybody makes profit. Somebody has to lose. Nevertheless, let's talk about Sam Bankman-Fried, or SBF in short. He was just 30. He's a very cool guy. See his pictures. He made a lot of money so quickly. In fact, till November 2, his personal wealth or his personal worth was $16 billion. $16 billion. That's like 1,40,000 crore rupees or thereabouts. Not small change, right? Now, he was seen as a global whiz kid. He had an unusual lifestyle. He was also a philanthropist, or he packaged himself as one. He became, over time, the second largest donor to the Democratic Party after George Soros, no less. In fact, he gave $5.2 billion, according to Politico, $5.2 billion to Joe Biden's campaign, one of the biggest contributors to his campaign. Then, while he was contributing to Democratic Party, his partners or his other executives in the business were also contributing to the Republican Party. So it's useful to keep all sides happy, particularly if all you're doing is playing with other people's money and playing fraudulent games with other people's money, because ultimately you will need somebody to come and stand bail and surety for you, which is the stage that he is in right now. So when he made all this money and looked like he was only going higher and higher, then who got fooled first? It is the daddies of all the boomers who got fooled first. So see his pictures. Pictures of him sitting with Bill Clinton and Tony Blair at World Economic Forum, no less, giving the whole world gyan. And see how he's dressed? He's got his shorts, he's got his t-shirt, and he's got his frazzled hair, which he obviously was very careful never to comb. Because you know what? Those are also parts of your brand personality. I'll give you an example. I did once go to meet George Fernandez, who was India's defense minister. And he was furious when his guy looking after him brought him his pajamas, which were iron. He didn't like iron pajamas. So he actually crumpled them and wore them, right? So these are all style statements. So this is his hair is also his style statement. And he's got former president, two-term of America, and Tony Blair sitting and eating out of his hands, right? And the world thought that he had the answer because he'd signed a pledge just this June saying that all his wealth after him will be given away to charity, to good causes. Not just that, he had even developed some kind of a software program that will help direct his wealth and his contribution to global causes that are the worthiest and that are the most likely to benefit and from which more and more people are likely to benefit. So absolutely the perfect guy. But you know what? When you discover a perfect guy, you know that you're dealing with a fraud, because God Almighty never made anybody perfect. In fact, at least in our Hindu tradition, I can tell you, no God also pretends to be perfect. All gods have imperfections, all gods are questioned, all gods are debated. But in this case, human beings. So human beings are never perfect. And also the second thing, when something looks too good to be true, 8% interest rate, that is when in the market, there is no interest rate of 1%, you get 8% guaranteed and it says no risks, right? How can you have a deposit with no risks? If you believe that, you are an idiot. And once again, it tells us that a lot of people can be idiots, a lot of very smart people can be idiots, and a lot of very smart and super rich people also can be idiots. Because you know what? The richer you are, the more greedy you get. Because you made so much money, you think, oh, I made all this money, so I must be really smart, right? So I've got this new idea to make even more money. I am too smart to be suckered into something nonsensical or a fraud. So I go and buy it. And that is what happened. Now, how was this operation running? Let me try and explain to you briefly. So he has these three companies, FTX, FTX US, and Alameda Research. What does FTX do? FTX is an exchange. You can trade cryptocurrencies there. I told you that there are many exchanges for stock market. Similarly, there are many exchanges for cryptocurrency. So you can trade crypto there. But FTX was also had also launched its own cryptocurrency of sorts, right? Something called an FTT token. So FTX's token was called FTT. So you could make your deposit. You could also buy FTT token, and from your deposits, FTX was actually buying its own token. Now, this gets a bit complicated, so let me try and simplify it. Let me take a deep breath and try and simplify it for you. The money you sent to FTX, because you were looking at this 8% interest rate risk-free, FTX did not receive that money because FTX did not have the facility, obviously deliberately done, of accepting wire transfers, which means electronic transfer of money. So where did you send that money? You sent that money to another company that FTX and SBF, that is Sam Bankman-Fried, had formed, that is Alameda Research, which was a trading company, hedge fund, investing trading company. So they, once again for clarity, FTX is where anybody could trade, right? It's an exchange. But Alameda was a trading company. So they went to exchanges and traded in crypto and whatever other assets. So you first sent your money to Alameda because Alameda could accept wire transfers, electronic transfers, but FTX did not. So you sent your money to Alameda. FTX allocated you your evidence or whatever of your deposits or the purchase of your FTT. You made the presumption that while the money has gone to Alameda, Alameda has transferred it to FTX. Alameda did not transfer it to FTX. You know why? Because the owner is the same in both places, right? So whether I keep your money in this pocket or this pocket, that's my choice. Both are my pockets. And in any case, it's your money. And do I care about your money? And that's where the trouble came. So your money stayed with Alameda. And money grew into billions and billions and billions. Ultimately, it became more than 10 billion. And Alameda kept on playing dangerous, risky games in the crypto markets until they began to lose money. As they began to lose money, other complexities also surfaced. Because a lot of the money that you gave to Alameda was not keeping as cash. Alameda was buying FTT, that is FTX's token, with that money. Now again think, I'm again taking a deep breath, you also take a deep breath, because this is the arrogance of this fraud is breathtaking. Now where was this trading being done? Trading was being done on the FTX, the exchange owned by the same guy who also owned the company that had your money and was trading with your money by buying tokens issued by this exchange, and those tokens were being traded on this exchange, right? So this exchange on every trade also, like all stock markets do, every trade also, this exchange was making further profit. So basically, you were being vacuum cleaned not once but thrice over. And if you were suckered into it, you got to get your MBA degrees and your engineering degrees and all the rest with which you made all your billions all this while, you got to get all of those checked out. Because you didn't see all this because you were blinded by the idea that you could get this miracle returns. And you know how much in the air this business was, that the auditor who was keeping track, who was keeping a watch over what was happening in these companies, that auditor has an address in where? In metaverse. So one day, like all Ponzi schemes, the train stopped. The train stopped because somebody blew the whistle. So November 2, an article appeared in CoinDesk, which looks at the crypto markets. They pointed out some of these flaws in the system. And they said that this exchange was in trouble. Nobody wanted to believe it because by that time, SPF had built such an image. He was seen as a new JP Morgan, as somebody who, as JP Morgan, might have saved all of the financial industry through many crises in America. He had now stepped forward to try and save the crypto markets, because in June this year or May this year, there was a meltdown of two big crypto assets, that is Terra and Luna. When that happened, looked like the crypto story will be over. But he stepped in, he gave money to a lot of failing crypto companies, he acquired a lot of crypto companies. So he came up as a kind of white knight. So what a nice guy, white knight. He's got the cash, he's bailed out many broken companies. He's really the brand ambassador of crypto for the whole world. Such a cool guy. He's already willed all his wealth, basically all your money, not his money. He's basically willed all his wealth also to charity and to good causes. He's 30, he wears shorts. He doesn't even have the time to comb his hair, right? He's vegan, he sleeps on bean bags. So he would release pictures of himself sleeping on bean bags. So all of that made him a very sexy character. And behind that sex appeal was the fact that he was building these businesses. And crypto is also sexy right now. So he became so successful and his appeal became so irresistible that some of the world's biggest and quote-unquote supposedly smartest investors, although I do hope if the board members on those companies still have that fiduciary conscience in place, they would ask some questions. So Sequoia Capital, Temasek, Ontario Pension Fund. Now Canadians have these large pension funds for their employees, right? They're very cautious investing. Many of them are investing in India as well. People like these bought into this idea of FTX and Sam Bankman Fried, until this first whistle was blown on November 2. When this whistle was blown on November 2, the article in CoinDesk said that Alameda was trading, had lost millions or billions of dollars, and also that where did this money come from for Alameda? That this money had come from FTX. Now, you know what? Not only were the companies owned by the same guy, Alameda, the CEO of Alameda, was also somebody who's very close to SBF. In fact, reputed to be his girlfriend. Now, SBF has a unique lifestyle, and that also became part of his appeal. He lived not with his family, not with a boyfriend, girlfriend, anybody. He lived in the Bahamas. He registered his exchange in the Bahamas. It was earlier registered in Hong Kong. Then, you know, Hong Kong, Uncle Xi came calling and changed a few laws. So obviously everybody went hot footing out of Hong Kong. So he went to Bahamas, which is also a tax haven just about 60, 70 miles away from the coast in Florida, a place where a lot of rich people from around the world go. So he acquired a part of the island there, the richest, the most expensive island there, and set up what I might now call a kind of a commune. So this was a large development that they had for themselves. They worked from there. So he and nine other pals of his, all about in the same age group, they built a penthouse, a $40 million penthouse for themselves. Now you might say, what is $40 million? 35 crore rupees, big deal, right? A big flat in Jorbagh or Golf Links or someplace will cost 35 crore rupees. But you know, in the Bahamas, this is a lot of money. This is a very expensive property. So they built this property and they lived there together like a commune. So they were a cult. And at various points of time, 10 of them had romantic relationships amongst themselves. of these, in particular, a woman called Caroline Ellison, she and SBF were in number for a long time. Now, I don't know what their relationship is now. So he made her the CEO of Alameda. So once again, where does corporate governance go? Where does fiduciary responsibility of the directors go? And where were the directors looking? And regulators, in any case, have not yet come into the game of crypto. This, in fact, this big meltdown will now ensure that regulators get more and more interested in this business where real people's real money gets involved. So he had this young woman who's a Harry Potter fan. You can look at her picture and see her glasses. She was running this. So it's not as if anybody was illiterate. Ellison also had a Stanford math degree, but no real specialization and expertise or experience in trading. So a lot of it is done sort of instinctively. And you know who you are? You are just a greedy old man, rich man, hoping to get windfall gains without asking questions as to where can that money come from. Because you know what? When something looks too good to be true, it's almost always not true. And if you haven't learned that much, then it's obvious that you made your money the easy way without asking any questions. So if you got suckered, you deserved it. Okay, this is not schadenfreude. But still, this was as simple as that. He made his girlfriend the CEO of this company. This company was not even a step-down company. This was an independent company. This company was holding a cash with which you were buying assets in the other company. That company was converting that, making you buy assets that they were creating, which were being bought by this company. And this company was trading those assets on that exchange, on which that exchange was making money. Now, everybody was making money, it seems. So how did the money disappear? The money disappeared because, after all, you were trading in the crypto market and you were making these bets without checking anybody. You're making overly dangerous bets. And because you were making overly dangerous bets and you were overly leveraged and you were advising your clients to get more leveraged, which means if a client invests $100 with you, you were telling them if a client invested $100 worth, $100 to khair koi nahi karega, $1 million worth, say with FTX, they'll say, no, now we've got $1 million of your money, you can borrow another 10 million and play with that, right? It's like you go to a casino with 1,000 rupees on your pocket and the guy says, look, you got 1,000 rupees, I'll give another 1,000, you gamble with this. When you lose, I will tell you what to do with it. Maybe I'll ask you the address for the address of your home, or maybe your bank account, or give me your credit card or something. And these people were taking leverage and playing. So once this money began to disappear, once the losses built up, then some people blew the whistle. And as they blew the whistle, the meltdown started. Now, a lot of the coverage on this, if you've seen it in international press, I know the whole world is sort of fixated on this story. It's taken attention away from Ukraine for now. You will see a lot of the attention being paid to the lifestyle question. I mentioned about the commune style, sort of Osho commune style lifestyle, although for a smaller community, a lot of sexual relationships amongst them. So today, in fact, the Washington Post has a very long investigation that the reporters have done out of Bahamas. There are also stories on Vox, stories on Wall Street Journal. In fact, I'll share with you a short video explainer on the Wall Street Journal. So see that link. Maybe in 9 minutes, they've done a better job than I have done in 25 plus. So watch that also. But the fact is, a lot of the talk is about lifestyle. So lifestyle, okay, relationships, sex, lot of use of performance enhancing drugs. So SBF himself has made no secret of the fact that he's been using something called MSAM. Now, MSAM is a kind of patch that you put on your body, on your skin. It is a performance enhancing substance. It is also used for treating depression. In fact, the Washington Post story earlier did not say it. Later, they updated the story with a correction saying that this is also used for depression. So even in his interviews, even in his business meetings, while he's holding his business meetings, he's playing video games on the side, right? SBF, but you know, when you are considered to be a genius, then Saad Khoon Maaf, so he gets away with it. But next to him, you can see boxes of MSAM patches sitting. So there is frequent and prolific and open use of performance enhancing drugs and stimulants. So these stimulant patches are visible. I see other coverage from elsewhere saying that a lot of what was happening between him and his work buddies was from a straightforward chemical playbook. Caroline Ellison, his friend and CEO of Alameda, she's quoted as saying, she says, quote, "There is nothing like regular amphetamine use to make you appreciate how dumb a lot of normal, non-medicated human beings are." That's most of us and most of you, right? So, thoda goli andar, dimag jalandar type mindset tha. So, there was also a lot of permissiveness on the use of chemical circumstances. But the other detail I find, again, lifestyle. So on this commune, I'm using the word commune, most people in the Western media are not using the word commune. This commune in the Bahamas also had a man called George Lerner, L-E-R-N-E-R. So George Lerner was a kind of in-house psychiatrist and a performance coach. And he was also trying to fix dates apparently between these founders, between the 10 of them, or to find them dates outside. So the Washington Post investigation from Bahamas quotes a woman called Margot Avedisian, who was given the job of an MC at the company's events in Bahamas. And she talks about how the same guy, the same in-house psychiatrist come performance coach, also asked her if she'd be interested in a romantic relationship with who else but SBF himself. And she said, look, I know that some of the stuff happens in the new startup environments like free food, free gym, but not that we'll find you a wife, right? So these 10 guys in this place had a kind of polyamorous existence. Lerner himself has been quoted as saying, look, they were too busy working. The environment was quite tame and actually overworked and undersexed, right? So I'm giving you both sides of this. After the meltdown, see how SBF has conducted himself. First of all, he's not at all, although he once made one statement where he said, each step in isolation, and I'm quoting him, each step in isolation was rational and reasonable, but sometimes life creeps upon you, right? Sab galti life ki hai, right? Upar wale ki galti hai. But the fact is that he now has issued many statements that anything he said, all the virtue signaling he did, ESG, for example, ESG is environment, social governance. It's a very sexy thing right now in the corporate world and also in the civil society world. And he said all of that was fake, etc., etc. So in fact, Wall Street Journal also wrote a stinging editorial on that, of which also I'll share a link with you. Now he is over, and this story is over. Now the agencies, as we call them in India, they are getting into it. In fact, in the US, even the Department of Justice has got into it, which is now serious business. Because once the Department of Justice gets into it, then it can lead to anything. It is not justice. They are not investigating only for a civil offense. Now, how bad has this scandal been? So John Ray III, who is a bankruptcy specialist, he's now been picked up to take over FTX and try and pick up the pieces and see if something can be salvaged from this bankruptcy, because all his companies, all of SBF companies have gone into bankruptcy under what is called as Chapter 11 in America. Now, he was asked that, is it like Lehman Brothers? Is it like Enron? And he said, look, it's worse than both. So from all I read, it looks like the more gyani people in the US in the markets, they are saying that this looks more like Bernie Madoff. Now, who was Bernie Madoff? Bernie or Bernard Madoff? He was one of the biggest crooks on American stock markets. He ran the most successful Ponzi scheme in the history of humankind until it survived. One day it folded up. When it folded up, people lost $65 billion. In comparison, this meltdown is $32 billion. In that case, precisely $64.8 billion worth of wealth was gone, because he was taking people's money, giving to somebody else, circulating it. Purely Ponzi scheme, right? We see many of those roll over in India, but not on this scale. He was then caught and he was sent to jail. He was imprisoned. He was given 150 years of jail, which is the maximum jail sentence possible. His brother, who made him his chief compliance officer, dekha na bhai bhai ki baat hai, he also went to jail. He got 10 years. His two sons also he employed in his company. One died by suicide 2 years after the father was caught. The second, unfortunately, died of cancer. So that family did not end up well. And through bankruptcy proceedings, the bankruptcy officials were still able to recover about $14 billion. Now, when you say $65 billion lost, that was with all the notional profits and interest, etc. But when you looked at the actual principal that people had invested, that was about $18 billion. So $14 billion came back. But you know what? When you invest money 10 years later, 15 years, 20 years later, you don't want the same money back, the same amount of money back. Because by this time, you've lost so much opportunity, so much interest, so much possible benefit on that money. So what you get at the end of the day is a wooden spoon. Somebody goes to jail for a very long time. It's of no use to those who've lost their money, maybe a little bit of revenge, but no more than that. On the other hand, it's a lesson for everybody else. It's a lesson for everybody else. Once again, I'll repeat what I said earlier. If something looks too good to be true, check it out. Most likely, it isn't true.